Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your brother Elohim back live on the air. We're here doing a broadcast, 2 minutes late, but we are here. How about that? This is October the 3rd. And we're coming to you live in Philadelphia. So we're going to play our national anthem.
Inside, up in the sky.
Well, we're back, and you know, the first thing we always talk about, we talk about that love. Let's talk about love for a couple of minutes. This culture teaches obsessionism. We want to teach, we want to talk to you about love, real love. Love is an act that makes others feel good. Are you doing things that make others feel good, or are you doing things that make you feel good about others? Let's talk about that for a minute. When you're loving someone, see, love is an act. It's an action word. So you can't be in love. You have to be loving. That's the difference. Oh, I'm in love with this person. But you ain't doing nothing for them. You don't know anything about them. You don't know who they are, what they are, what's going on with them. Oh, I'm in love with this person. In order to love somebody, you got to spend time. Love takes time. Love at first sight, well, if you're so in tune with a person just by the way that they look, that would allow you to spend time with them, then that's good. Very good. But love takes time because you have to learn how to make them feel good. This is how the gigolos get over. This is how the players get over, see? They figure out what love is, and they deal with people and have them fall in love with them because the other person, don't actually know what love is. So it's easy to dupe them. Now everybody's curious. Everybody's cautious. We're not sure whether the person's telling the truth, what's going on. You don't know what's up, you know? I mean, Beyonce say put a ring on it. If they're ready to put a ring on it, then we're talking. But talking and dealing with people, and you're not dealing from a point of love, from a point of commitment, from a point of you two being together to build something, you know, because two people coming together is also a business as well, and you have to deal with that as well, you know. You can't just come together, both of you raggedy, living in the street with nothing, and say, oh, well, we're going to get married. Get married and do what? How you going to deal with the children? How you going to deal with what's going on, you know? You need to have some type of economic base in order to deal with this love thing. That's why sometimes when a female person needs to meet a guy, they will say, well, what kind of car is he driving? You know what I mean? Now, if he can't maintain a good car, he sure can't play with me, you know? Because they want to know what type of money you have, you know? They don't want to get into a situation where she might be doing well and you're doing crappy. Next thing you know, y'all get together and both y'all in the street. That's what I'm talking about. So there's a lot involved with y'all getting together and knocking boots, you know? This culture seems like knocking boots is okay. It's all right. I'm just having fun. It's just sex. There's no such thing as just sex, you know? There's a transfer of energy taking place. Once you sleep with somebody, that energy stays with them forever. It don't leave, you know. It's not like, oh, I was just sex, you know. It ain't no such thing as just sex. Transference of energy. And that energy remains with each other forever. You know what I mean? It's an amazing thing. You have to realize exactly what's going on. That's why they say, hey, man, let's get married. Now, I'm a Bible thumper, you know, I deal with the book. So as I'm dealing with the book, I'm looking at how this whole thing jumped off. Now, we got all kinds of rituals going on. And boy, the more money you have, the more you spend on the rituals that they call marriage. But, you know, according to the book, according to the Bible, the ritual is not necessary. You go back to the story of Adam and Eve, there were no rituals involved. It was a commitment. Commitment of one to another to be with each other, period. And once you go into each other, literally, that's the marriage, you know? If you watch some of the Chinese movies sometimes, you know, they will have a ceremony. But until they actually sleep with each other, then the marriage is not complete. So the actual marriage is you two knocking boots. That's what you have to think about. When you get ready to knock boots with somebody, you got to ask yourself, can I marry this person? Is this somebody that I want me to marry? My father told me that a long time ago. He said, don't mess with nobody that you don't want to marry. Okay, that didn't give me a lot of choices out there, but naturally, me being young, I didn't listen. You know what I mean? So I only got married once in my lifetime, you know, which was okay because I had the right thought process in mind. But I had no idea what love is. When I first got married, I had no idea what love was, you know, because we're not really taught what love is. So we take 5 minutes before every show to talk about love. You know, because without love, without the art of love, I come from an old friend of mine, which called him Eddie B, the art of love. Love is an art, something that you learn, something that you learn how to do, you know. And these are the things that they're not teaching you as you're coming into your godhood, because you are designers. That's who you are. And you're going to design a life with each other. You have to have some type of blueprints on how to design this thing, you know? So that's when we come into the teachings of Yahshua, or Jesus, as a lot of us call him. He was showing you how to love, showing you what love is. And this is what upset the 1% too, because they don't want you to know what love is. They want to be able to jerk you around. They want to, hey, man. They got commercials on TV, you know, where you can buy expensive diamonds. Say it with love, you know. Say it with an expensive diamond, and she know you love her, you know. What can you buy for this person? What kind of gifts you give these people? That's what they're talking about love is. No, that's not love. Love goes a little deeper than throwing money at it, you know. I mean, it don't hurt to buy a couple of things, but it goes a little deeper than that. What you're buying, you're not buying things based on what the society say you need to give the person. You're buying things based on what the person likes, what they need. And how do you know this? You have to sit down. You have to spend time. You have to talk to this person. What do you like? What kind of clothes you like to wear? What kind of lipstick do you use? What kind of balm do you use? I don't need a bomb, but, you know, they call it lip balm. What kind of, you know, nothing, know a whole lot about women's stuff. But you need to learn about all this stuff. You need to know everything you need to know about the woman that you're dealing with, and everything you need to know about the man that you're dealing with. Yeah, you need to know about their past relationships. That's what you need to talk about. Well, how many women have you been with before? How many men have you been with before? You know, what's your thought on relationships? You know, what's your thought on marriage? Are you ready to get married? If you're not ready to get married, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm not looking for a one-night stand, okay? I'm looking for a life stance. I'm looking for something that's – I'm looking for a commitment, you know, something that's going to carry me for a minute. And ain't no sense talking about knocking boots unless you're talking about putting a ring on it. If you ain't talking about putting a ring on it, then you have to go mess with somebody else because you're in the wrong place. This guys and girls, you have to – you know, the men, you have to – you can't be playing around with these females if you're not planning on marrying them. And women, you can't be playing around with the guys if you're not planning on marrying them. It's not a marriage situation. Move on unless you're setting up to do a business relationship. If it's just about business, okay, well, that's something different. And I don't recommend people get married based on business, you know. There should be some kind of love jumping off there, and you can love a person gradually as you go along. The more you learn about the person, the more you can give love to this person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope that makes sense. Okay, let's get into the topic. We done did our 5 minutes on love, although we should do the whole hour on love. The love is so important, you know? let's talk about this money. Boy, I like to talk about money. Let's talk about this money today. That's what we're talking about. Now, we talk about money in reference to the village. Just because you have economic, what they're giving us right now is economic-based situation, right? And we have communities. The communities are economic-based. So you talk about different communities, they have people. You can't get in this community unless you make a certain amount of money, okay? That's controlling the environment or who lives and who moves in the community, all right? But it's economic-based. It's how they keep certain people out of certain communities, okay? We're talking about the class system. If you ain't graduated college, working for the government or some large institution where you're making $30,000-$40,000 a year to start, you can't move into certain communities. Economic-based, you know? Now, they control who gets what jobs. They control tribe moves into what location. When I say tribe, I'm talking about black, brown, red, yellow, white. So if they want if they want to build a location where only white people are living there, then they only hire white folks at a certain job level, a certain economic level for pay. So that means you have to be making $50,000 a year to live in this community. And 95% of the people that they're hiring at that pay level are white. So that means that 95% of that community is going to be white folks. See what I'm saying? They have 2% Asian, 1% African, 1% something else. You know what I mean? Just to throw a little color in there. But the community is basically white. Economics, that's how they control some of these communities. You can get on a bus and have evidence of this. Get on a bus that runs from one part of the city to the other. And as you ride all the way to the end of the line, you'll see when you pass a certain area, all blacks are getting on the bus. You got brown people getting on the bus. Then you go to another area, you got yellow people getting on the bus. You go to another area, you got red people getting on the bus. You go past another area, you got white folks getting on the bus. Same way up, same way coming back. You're going to control communities through economics. You understand what I'm saying? It's so ridiculous that you can literally see, and they're not hiding this. And when they run, they know when they run on this expanding the middle class, you know? What are they talking about expanding the middle class? Or they're expanding the middle class to get more of a racial mix in there, or just to make more of one tribe being more of them a part of the middle class. You know, you have to ask yourself these questions, you know? Who is mostly the middle class? So if they're expanding the middle class, how? What do you mean by we're going to expand the middle class? What do you mean by that? How are you going to expand the middle class? You're going to give more people access to the middle class that haven't had access before along ethnic and racial lines? Or you're just dealing with more white folks becoming more and more white folks in the middle class? How are you doing this? You follow what I'm saying? Economic-based communities can easily be controlled. Village-based communities is a little more difficult because we're dealing with people as opposed to economics. Village-based communities are village-based, are people-based, you know, who lives there. Do we get to know the people in the area? Is this a racial community, or how is this community set up? If, follow what I'm saying? Is it set up so that only middle class can live here, or can everybody live here, anybody that want to live here? Now you run into, once you go past the economic based systems, which is communities, and start dealing with people based communities, which is the village based communities, the communities begin to change. Everybody, all of a sudden, you look around, everybody's there. You got black, brown, red, yellow, and white. All five tribes are there. And it sort of balances everything out, you know? And we're getting to know each other. We're talking to each other. You know, this is what's going on. And when you deal in a community like that, the community is more apt to be involved with politics. See? And the community-based system, all right, I should say they'd be more apt to be in politics for the right reason. You see what I'm saying? Economic-based systems, it's more, they're in the politics for the financial aspect of it, for the money aspect of it. How does this money come into our community? How are the jobs in our community? Are there going to be jobs made in our community? Are we going to be able to work at this level for a long period of time, $50,000 a year? Am I going to be able to keep this salary for a long period of time? This is what we're talking about. Now, me being Bible-based, right, let's get into a system that was given to you in the Bible that will help you out, all right? We're going to talk about that system for a minute. We're talking about economics. First, we ask ourselves, what is economics, okay? Economics, now, according to what, I mean, they make a lot of money off these subjects. So they draw them out, make them big, so you can pay that little $100,000 to go to college to get this information. But it's really simple. Economics, okay, somebody or something working and paying you. Well, that's economics. Now, what's the difference between economics and a job? You go to work every day. If you don't work, you don't make no money. That's a job, okay? Economics is when you have something working for you. You don't have to work, okay? We're saying, well, you got a lot of people that don't want to work. Go to work, get a job. No. Yeah, go to work, get a job, be a man. You ain't a man if you ain't working. You know, yeah, you go to work to create economics. That's why you go to work. You don't go to work to make a career out of no job. You don't want to be on a job 20, 25 years and get a gold watch and they send you home and you can barely keep your bills and stuff going. That's not how it works. The story of Joseph, right? We now get into all the story because the story is designed to trigger certain things in you. What we want to do, we go to the end of the story. What saved Egypt, or what we call Kemet? What saved Kemet? How did Joseph save Kemet? That's the moral of the story. Okay, each one of these little stories that you're reading in the book, they have moral and consequences to it. Okay, that's what you should be focusing on. Okay, not the fact that E.T., well, that's a whole nother story. We're not going to go there just yet. All right, but you need to focus on that money. Joseph told Pharaoh, you're going to have a famine. You need to save for 7 years and spend for 7 years. Save half of what you have for 7 years and eat out of what you have for 7 years. That's what we call the 50% budget. Think about that. Are you on a 50% budget? If you can't save half the money that you're making, okay, you're living beyond your means. That should be your rule of thumb. I don't care if you're making $10 million a year. $5 million should go in the bank. And the other $5 million is what you should be living off of. You follow what I'm saying? If you're making $10,000 a year, $5,000 go in the bank, $5,000 is what you live off of. Okay? If you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means. Rule of thumb. Figure out, how do I get there? How do I save half my money? Oh, it's not as hard as you think, okay? Let's go back into the system that we introduced a little while ago. First of all, let's start with the so-called poor community, all right? You get out of school, starting with the children now. We call them children, but they're actually young men and women. That's who they are, coming into their godhood, which are designers. That's why you have so much trouble out of what you call teenagers. They're not teenagers. They're young guys who are learning how to design themselves, design things for themselves. And they don't want you all up in their business. They know, I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way. You got more experience than them, but they're coming into their godhood. They want to design their own lives. And that's what you should be teaching them, how to design their lives, deal with what they want, what they need, things like that there, you know? Okay. So, when the child gets out of school, before the child get out of high school, okay, they supposed to know about the 50% budget. Don't be in a hurry to kick your children out of the house, right? When they go to college, that's one thing. They're sitting in college, but especially before they go to college, they need to know about that 50% budget, okay? Now, a lot of them coming from poor families don't have the money to go to college. They can't afford it. So here's a system that they can use, okay? It might take them a couple of years to get there, but they can get there, okay? When they come out of school, you work two jobs, Geno's, McDonald's, it don't make no difference because you're not, the job is not going to be a career for you. You're just passing through two jobs. Most jobs pay $10,000 a year. Most jobs pay $10,000 a year. Live off one, save the other. You work it out so that you get 4 days of only working one shift. You don't get no days off, but you get 4 days of working one shift, then you go home and get some rest. And you have 3 days where you work in double shifts. You do a double shift for 3 days, and the other 4 days you work in only one shift. How do you do that? You get 2 days off on each job, okay? So the days off that you have, all right, you make sure that you're off on different days. Don't be off. Don't take the same 2 days off, because then you'll be working 5 days double shift. That's tough. See, so if you work 3 days double shift and work the other 4 days just one shift at a time, you'll be able to get your rest. You'll be able to study. And you'll be able to do different things. You'll be able to prepare yourself for where you're going. Okay. You do that, I recommend 2 years, a minimum of 2 years. That gives you $20,000 in the bank, but you might have to do it for 3 years now because everything is getting up there, but you're making more money. Instead of $10,000, you might make $15,000 a year, okay? So you're making a little bit more money. So it depends on what the job is paying. If you're getting $10 an hour, that's one thing. You're getting $15 an hour, that's something else, you know? But you do that for a minimum of 2 years. Now you have $20,000 where you save $10,000 a year for 2 years, you're stacking $20,000. Now, most children coming out of high school, you're talking about 18, 19, 20 years old, you got $20,000 in the bank at 20 years old. Think about that. Most 20 years old don't have $20,000 in the bank if they're coming from a poor family because they don't know anything about the 50% budget. Now, we're telling you about the 50% budget, okay? Now, they have sheriff sales, tax lien sales. They have all kinds of sales on property out there that you can bid through the city to get these properties, all right? What you want is a three-story building. You go and bid on a three-story building, you know, and you take that three-story building. You live on the first floor and the basement. You got a few dollars, so funk it out. Make it look really, really nice, that first floor in the basement, okay? Because that's where you're going to live at. Now you got two floors. You got the second floor and the third floor that you can rent out. You can rent rooms out for the second floor and the third floor, okay? This will give you this will give you the same amount of money because right now you can get $500 per room, see? So if you got three stories, you're looking at five rooms, see? So that's $2,500 a month. You understand what I'm saying? So with $2,500 a month coming in, right, you might only have to work one job now, okay? Or you can keep the two jobs going for another couple of years, but you might only have to work one job. $2,500 a month coming in, you're working one job. Now you're preparing to go to college. Okay, I mean, you've been preparing to go to college all the time. You've been studying, figuring out what you want to do, what you want to study in college. Now you're preparing to go to college. Now you can afford to go to college. Now when it comes to that car, that's what's been screwing our children up. They go and get that car, but they got to make payments. Oh, my goodness. That's the worst thing you can do. Whatever money you have, if you got $3,000 or $4,000, you go and buy you a $3,000 or $4,000 car. And you make payments, but you make payments to yourself. You set up a separate account each month. You pay $3,000 for the car. The car is yours. Bam, you ain't got no payments on the car, but you're paying $200-$300 a month for a car note. But that car note goes into the bank. That's your money. See what I'm saying? So as you're paying this $200 or $300 a month into that separate account, car break down, the money's already there. You don't have to worry about, oh, my car broke down. No, the money's already there because you have a separate account. And you're going to accumulate more money in the bank for your car payments than what you're paying as the car, as you're paying maintenance and upkeep on the car. Okay? So that way, when it's time for you to upgrade the car, instead of buying that $3,000 car, you have $6,000. Now you can upgrade to a $6,000 car. You keep the same thing going until you get to the point that you can walk down to the dealership, yo, man, I want this car. Car brand new. Pay cash for it. Roll off the line. Car's yours. Keep making payments into the bank. You follow what I'm saying? That's how you do it. You don't buy a car where you got to make them payments every month because it gets tricky. Something happened and you can't make the payments, you lose the car. Do you feel me? Something happens when you done paid $3,000 for that car, you don't lose the car. Okay? You just got to make sure you got gas to put in it. But the whole thing is, this is how you begin to flow. Now, this will give you enough money to go to college. Now, wait a minute. You got one property. Why not get two or three more? See, now you get another property and another property. Next thing you know, you're living large. You can afford to go to college and don't have to work. Don't have to go on a job to work for nobody, okay? You go to work to create economics. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. Now, now you start dealing with the stock market. You start dealing with other things. You can invest a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. You got money sitting around that you can say, well, I like IBM stock. So I'm going to purchase a few of these right now since IBM just getting started. And it's money I can sit on. You know what I mean? Instead of sitting the money in the bank where they're not paying you nothing, you know, put the money in stocks that'll grow. But that's a gamble. You're beginning to gamble now. But you're gambling smart. Everything that you're doing, this culture, everything is gambling. I don't care what you're doing, even when you buy the property, you know, because you're dealing with tenants and all that kind of stuff. So that gets a little tricky too. So basically, you're on your way. Now you can afford to go to college, and you can pay for college. It is this important. Without going into debt. They keep saying, oh, debt, debt, debt. No. You want to live a debt-free life, and you can do that. You can go to college without going into debt, okay? And if you're going to college, see what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. Where are you going to college? Or you're going to college to make money? So once you start getting that economics, you're making more through the economics that you've set up that you're going to make once you pay for the college education. So why are you going to college in the first place? If you like something that you really like doing, okay, that's what you go to college for. You're not going to college so that you can get a better job. You're going to go to college because you're becoming an expert at something that you like to do. That's why you go to college, okay? Sit in college, you get your little degree, and whatever you like, whatever it is, because you're not there to go get a job from somebody else because you're getting to the point where you're starting to create jobs now, okay? You need plumbers. You need electricians. You need carpenters to keep fixing up your property and all that as you're flipping property. Hello? Now you're becoming a job creator, okay? Instead of a person looking for jobs, you begin to make jobs. That's what it's all about. Remember, you don't go into a job as a career. You're not looking for careers. You need the job market so that you can get on a 50% budget, so that you can do something, so that something can make money to pay you. Okay? They got government bonds out there, all kinds of stuff out there. Your money can work and pay you. It don't have to be a real estate. It could be something else. It could be a myriad of, there's a lot of things out there that you can get into that make money. They run in these telemarketing things, but you got to get in early and get out early. You can't stay in it to the end because they're like little Ponzi things and they fall apart. Now, we're doing a telemarketing thing, but it's not about the money. It's about bringing the villages together. It's about bringing people together. So when we do our Zoom meetings, we're talking about what's going on in your area, who's doing what, and how's your family coming? Things like that there, you know? But today we're talking about money. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the money. So as we're talking about the money. So we're talking about Joseph, the 50% budget. And we're getting you to what economics really is. Somebody or something working and paying you. Your money can work for you. Money can work and pay you. You got to figure out how to get that done. Okay? Buying precious metals. Okay? Gold, copper, all these things have a value that goes up. Okay? The value fluctuates. But now, here's something that you need to know. Fiat currency is not actually real money. Okay? The real money is the gold, the diamonds, okay? Well, that's not real money either, okay? But that's closer to real money. That's closer to real money than the greenbacks. Well, that was some of them myself. Abraham Lincoln did the greenback thing. But that little green dollar bill you got with the president, with the dead presidents on it, that's not real money. The gold and diamonds and stuff, that's not real money, okay? If something happens, all right, the hurricane hit. The people are out there. What do they need? They're not running around looking for money. They're looking for food, something to eat. They're looking for water to drink. That's the real money, okay? They need clothing now, okay? They need house. They need their shelters repaired. Food, clothing, shelter, and security. That's the real money. That's what you invest in. You invest in things about food, clothing, shelter, and security. You understand what I'm saying? Now you're investing in real money. People have to eat every day. I don't care how bad the weather is. I don't care what's going on in the community. People need food. You know? So look around. Invest in the companies that are dealing with food. Invest in the companies that are dealing with shelter, real estate. You're already into the real estate because you enjoying the rental income that you have from doing your little budget thing, okay? Okay, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a little song break here. I want to play, if I can get to it, I'm going to play one of the songs off the album. We're going to be doing this here for a minute here. If I can get to it, this song is called, what is this song called? This song is called Jesus Come See About Your Baby. So we're going to play this for a minute. And You can catch us on Walmart, Amazon, Spotify. We're everywhere out there. You can go on YouTube and listen to the album if you want. Just click on 911 Jesus Mercy under Elohim Christ, and the album will come up. You can listen to all the songs and check them out. Okay, we suggest you do that. Also, we talk about money. Now, we have GSP, Gold Standard Partners, that we're dealing with. Okay, now, they were a telemarketing group, but we're using the telemarketing group not just so much to telemarket to make money, although they have some pretty good money marketing things in there where you can become a millionaire in a few years. Once you get onto the link, you can hook up on some of those links and check that out and see what's going on, okay? Now, the link, in order to go in on that, that link would be cor34mk.co/m/52362. Okay, that's the link to go in, and you'll see Elohim Five Tribes there. That's who we are. And this is all about Gold Standard Partners, okay? You can link up and just check it out and see what's going on in there and look at some of the videos and stuff that they're showing. And we're going to be starting Zooming soon to deal with to deal with village-based things, based on community-based things. And we're going to start showing you how we need to talk to each other as a village instead of as a community-based situation, okay? So all that's coming up in the near future. So keep listening, keep looking up. But remember that the link is cor3.4mk.co/m/52362. Okay, that's Gold Standard Partners. So, go in there and check everything out and look at what we're talking about, okay? Look at what we're offering. Brother, trust me. You need to get a handle on that money, all right? Now, I just want to, since I'm a Bible thumper, you know, I want to go into the book just a little bit because we didn't talk too much. Well, we're not talking about the Bible. That 50% budget, that's definitely the Bible. That's Joseph all day long. They just don't show you how to read the Bible, okay? You need to learn how to read the Bible. That's what I want. This is what I want to talk about now, okay? We've been through the economics thing. We showed you how to get started with that money, where you can have money for college or whatever you want, all right? Showing you how to buy the car. Don't get suckered into the payment situation. Boy, that's a sucker's play. They repossess so many cars out there, it's unbelievable, you know, because people can't keep up. You know what I mean? Because you're learning the whole system wrong, you know? We're going to give you a better thought process, reference to the system is concerned, okay? Now, there's been a lot of talk about who were the original Israelites and who are the original this and who are the original that, who are the chosen people. Well, see, that's a trap. Once you learn who you are, you can bounce above these traps that they got set for you out there. They got a lot of traps set for you out there. The Bible has its own thought process. All of the groups, there's a bunch of groups out there, excuse me, they bring their thought process to the book. Well, that's not what's up. Yeah, they bring their thought process to the group and to the Bible. And you're following their thought process as the believer to deal with the Bible, okay? Here's the problem. The teachers who came to you with this high conscious information didn't come to you to bring religious. They did not do that. The members who are trying to bring you back into idolatry, they brought you into religion. Now, idolatry is pretty powerful. And just to say this, you know, puts a target on my back. I'm telling you. Because these idolatries, they don't play. And if you look at all the history, when I don't care who it was, when they came through going against idolatry, they had to rise above the crucifixion, but they came after them, all of them. Anybody that's trying to do something for the people, uplift the people, to bring the people into a better life, they come after you. That's what they do. So we're giving you limited information, but we will give you more information as time goes on, okay? Now, when Jacob had his little battle with God, all right. What God told him, he said, this is a real man. This is a real person. This is a real God. This is what he was dealing with. Okay. That's why he respected him. You know, well, you got to let me go. You got to pray for me. They respected each other because they know this person was a real God. And the comment was, he is real. Okay, I'm going to call you Israel because you is real. He is real. You know what I mean? You got to get into the translators and all that stuff. And the whole thing is taken way out of proportion. Oh, is it true? Is it? No, everybody on the planet is real. We are real gods. Psalm 82:6 didn't say some of us are gods. It said all of us. Oh, well, yeah, Jesus backed it up. So they're trying to make this guy say, oh, well, he was just a cook or something that he was saying that he was. You know what I mean? But Jesus backed man up. Isn't that written in your law that you are God? What does that mean? That means you are designers knowing good from evil. Okay? This we want to get into. So when you're looking in the mirror, when you see that person next to you, you need to know who you're looking at. You need to know what you're looking at. Okay? And when you start patterning yourself after somebody else's looks, you have become an idolater, okay? When you put Botox and make your lips bigger because you want to look more black. When you cut your lips off because you want to look more white. All right? When you burn your hair because you don't like your hair looking natural, you have become an idolater. You're beginning to idolize something that's not the greatest thing on the planet, which is what's in your mirror. Okay? What's wrong with your hair? Absolutely nothing. So why are you burning it? Why are you buying false hair to put on your head when you have the greatest hair on the planet? Nobody has better hair than what you have. I don't care what tribe you're from. You follow what I'm saying? Man, you really got to love yourself. You know, you really got to fall in love with who you are. This is what's going on. Well, the word is getting out. If it's not a twin, then it can't be a 10. If you're judging beauty, you have to judge by what you see in the mirror. There's nothing greater than you, nothing better than you, okay? You have to respect who you are. They have you walking around with these little, they have you walking around taking your clothes off, and you're advertising for the wrong reason. You're advertising for guys who are into sex, who are motivated by sex. No, you're looking for guys who are motivated by family, want to create a wife, want to get married, want to settle down, want to build something, okay? That's what you want to be motivated by. That's why it's so easy to get you caught up in so many different things, because you don't know who you are. You need to. Now, this is a problem. This is why they didn't like Jesus. Jesus wasn't teaching no religion. Okay? I'm going to say it straight up. Jesus was not teaching no religion. He wasn't about that. That's why the Sanhedrin hated him, because they had a nice little thing going on and people expected him about, oh, yeah, he's a high priest in the church. Duh. And they caused him more damage out there to people's minds than anything on the planet. That's why when Jesus ran into one of them, he asked him a question. He said, well, I don't know. How come you don't know? I'm talking about Jesus and Nicodemus. That's what the Sanhedrin, that's what the preachers are. They're like Nicodemus going up against Christ. I'm just telling you what's going on. Your consciousness is so high now that you can make the connection between connection to the Christ consciousness. You can learn directly from source. This is what I'm saying. You don't have to go through all these intermediaries who saying, God told me this. God's talking to them. How come God ain't talking to you? You know what I mean? You got just as much brain power as they got. I'm just trying to wake you up and smell a coffee. You only got a few minutes. I started this dialogue late because I wanted to talk about the money. You know what I mean? I'm talking about why we so broke out here. You know what I'm saying? So I want to spend this hour talking about that. We're going to be talking about different things. We're going to get into politics and a whole lot of other stuff as time goes on. Now, this is why they do not like the teachings of Jesus, the original thought process of the Bible. That's why they don't listen. I'm telling you why they don't like it. No racism, no sexism, no classism, no fornication, no homosexuality, no bestiality. Okay? No thievery. Okay? Taking of land or property of others. Okay? This is why they don't like the actual teachings of the Bible. See what I'm saying? And if you go, the Bible gives you evidence of what's going on everywhere that the so-called Jews, I'm saying so-called Jews, you know who they are, everywhere that this guy told them to take the people's land, they couldn't keep the land. Somebody came and took the land back from them. Universal law, reap what you sow. You got to pay for what you're doing, okay? And that's what's going on over there in Israel right now. They don't think they're going to have to pay for taking the Palestinian land. You're doing it again. When are you going to learn? See what I'm saying? You should be over there working with the Palestinians. There's a danger in that because the books say once the Palestinians and Israel become one, that's when Armageddon is going to jump off. you follow what I'm saying? Because of the religious factions. You got Islam over there that's strong, you know what I'm saying? And once that paradigm starts shifting, they get a little nervous because the money changes. Look, I think about 90 seconds here, but listen, just remember, love is an act to make others feel good. And everybody is real. Think about that. Everybody is real. There's not no Israelites. Everybody is real. We're all gods. Children of the Most High. Okay? Think about that. Relate on that. Rely on that information. Make that your primary golden thing so that you know who you're talking to when you're talking to somebody. You're not just talking to any old body. You're talking about a person that's a designer. You're talking about a God, okay? The 1% know this. When they want something done, they call on designers. They want a building done, they call an architect. They want plumbing done, they call a plumber. These are designers that can design things for you and make things work, okay? This is your brother Elohim. I have walked the path of being honest and good, and I eagerly embrace everything that I've done to come back to me. I function under the law of reap what you sow. Okay? Remember, love is the act that makes others feel good. Go out there and have a feel-good day. This is your brother Elohim signing off. I hope that I've helped you just a little bit. Love you guys.